You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, my kindreds all over the world? I like it global. I've been doing it global for a very long time, and I am so happy that the globe finally caught up with me versus the other way around. First of all, I want to thank everybody and welcome to our show today, The Osiris Mounir Show. We have officially changed the name from 15 minutes. We need longer than 15 minutes to do what we got to do, and I got to say what I got to say. And the people that come on here have to be who they got to be. Let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Coldwell, a banker. He's senior real estate and probate specialist of Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508, a man that you want to know. Again, senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. So, first of all, a real big shout out to a few local people that I promised. Valley Verde Botanicals. Verde in Espanol means green. So Valley Verde Espanol. Valley Verde Botanicals here in Van Nuys, California. I believe they are Los Angeles County, for those of you who may not know where Van Nuys is. And then local shout out. I have a short experience to share. With In-N-Out Burger, I was doing some shopping real quick, you know, going in and out of a store, not anything involved. Just had to turn something in and pick something up. And I smelt these burgers just like, oof, smelt like back in the day when I was in the country in Texas, where they used to, you could smell the grease in the bag. It was so good, you know, and all the love that went in it. And I went over there and said, do you just make burgers? And the young man says, yeah, we make burgers. I'm like, do you have a veggie burger? He goes, yeah, we have a veggie burger. I'm like, you do? He goes, yeah. He says, okay, what do you want on it? Do you want the onion in the middle of it? Do you want, you know, the onion, grilled onions? You want them raw? What do you want it? And I'm like, well, I'm like mouth savoring, sitting there having talking with the mamas, you know, sitting in there and talking to everybody, sitting, waiting on their food to eat. And he calls my number. I go up, and you guys, it is the best toasted hamburger bun with lettuce, tomatoes, onions, grilled onions, and mayo and ketchup and mustard I've ever had. There was absolutely no burger at all from there. It was the funniest thing. I got all the way to the car and it smelled so good. And I opened it up. It was just a toasted bun with veggies on it, literally. So I thought, locator number 134, In-N-Out Burger. So that's a true story. They have the best burgers, though. They smell good. So today, for our wonderful guest, and again, before I forget, shout out to Rihanna and ASAP for that beautiful baby girl you have. I can't wait to see more photos of her and watch her grow as I'm watching both of you. So today we have a guest again. No Gray Wolf. And we're going to get into some and so today we want to explore some more aspects of Nova and his personality, you know, and different layers of his personality when it comes to him talking about AI and things of that nature. So we're waiting on Nova to hit the screen. I don't know what happened. There he is. Hey, you ready? Hey, Nova.
Hello. Hello.
I was just telling our fans and yours out here that we wanted to... You are a multi-layered individual, and there's no way possible that I can get to all of the things about a person or a situation, you guys, and lady, when we're out there and we're talking to people without them coming back on, and then you get to know more things about them. So today, we're going to find out a lot more deeper things about Nova and his mission on the planet and what he does, in addition to AI and how that involves and captures AI along with his personality and how it's driven by a lot of the things that he believes in and what he does. So first of all, his name is Nova Grey Wolf, and I wanted to find out, Nova, what does the name Grey Wolf stand? It has to stand for something with a name like Grey Wolf. Where did that come from? What's the origin of your name?
The origin of that name comes from a protector side, as well as the ability to navigate both the lightness and the darkness of this world in a way that a wolf may. And so it's a protector style, but able to walk the path of the light and the darkness.
That's good. That's a good description. Just as you said, like a wolf would do. So you have that strong intuition that drives you to create and drives you to meet people and drives you to be in certain situations at certain times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would say that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. I didn't hear you. Yeah. So in simple terms, you have an AI company. Tell everybody again what the name of your company is.
EmergingTechnologyGroup.ai, ETG.ai short. We're a full service provider from hardware, software, and services. From an inception of an idea all the way to the materialization of that idea and production-ready applications, infrastructure. If you have some kind of computer question or application or a development that you're looking to create, I and all my network would help in that materialization.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that you chose that field. In simple terms, I just had a conversation this morning with an actor who, when I brought up the word AI in ChatGPT, and the reason I brought it up is because the person said, I said, oh my gosh, I know who you are because I recognize your voice. You have a distinct voice. And sure enough, it was the person I thought it was. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. She says, yeah, and if I have such a distinct voice, why can't I get voiceover jobs? And I said, so why don't you go on AI and chat and say to AI and chat, if I have such a distinct voice, why can't I get voiceover jobs? Why can't I get voiceover work? She said, oh, no. I don't mess with AI. I don't mess with that. I mean, adamantly. And I've had conversation with other people who are very adamant about not using AI, not using it when it's everywhere. Can you explain in simple terms what the downfalls are of AI and chat and what are some of the big benefits that it offers in terms of globally assisting us?
Yeah, so they're just like any new technology, there are always, it's a tool, and that tool can be used for the good or the bad, and it's about the holder of that tool. So if the holder of the tool wants to enact danger and fear in others, it is very capable of doing so. If the holder of that is the key to lightness and wants to do the world greatness, then you could utilize that tool as a key to open up many doors that may have not been opened before. And so it is really about the holder, not the tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on a local level to a global level.
Okay. That makes sense. Yes, it is. Just like everything else is about the holder and not the tool. You know, pit bulls are wonderful dogs. I'm around them every day. I've yet to be bitten by a pit bull. But unless you experience a pit bull, unless a person you know that has a pit bull is a kind person, you know, or an unkind person, they're like any other dog. They are wonderful dogs. And as a matter of fact, I found that they used to be held as guard dogs for royalty. They were just, yes, too protective. So I use it as an example to say, what is to stop? One question that's burning inside of me, and we'll talk about Burning Man. One question is, if AI and chat are supposed to be supra intelligent, I'm saying they're using all the hooks and screws that we've yet to use. That's one reason they're here, because we're so lazy. We refuse to use all the parts of our brain that AI and chat have tapped into for technology. To me, this is how I look at it. That's how I see it. Because the human brain, according to what science says, we're only using a third, if that much, of the brain. So the part of the brain that we're not using is the part that AI and ChatGPT can take up and come in, because it's a void. It's not being used. So what is to stop, and this is what I don't want to see, technology from doing the same bulldookie and dividing people by race, by creed, by sex? How does that go away? When is that going to go away? That people can just wake up and be people. They don't have to be a black. They don't have to be a white. They don't have to be a man. They don't have to be a this. They can just be, hi, my name is Osiris, and I was born in Texas, and I grew up blah, 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 blah. Instead of the label, she's a black, there are this, there are that. What is to stop AI and chat from repeating that same ignorance and moving it into the future? You can't hear me. I can. I'm fine. I can. I don't have any problem with my mic. I can't hear you.
All right. Can you hear
there
me?
You go.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay.
So I got most of what you said. I could hear you as well. Sorry about that little delay. So I want to start first by definitions, right? So there's this buzzword called artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence has not been met yet. There's levels and degrees. There's stages from 1 to 5. We've barely even made it to level 1 of what artificial intelligence is. And so we are nowhere near what artificial intelligence could possibly and potentially be. Right now, we're in a stage of what's called generative artificial intelligence, where we could put up a prompt, which is like prompt engineering. You could put in a sentence and it will generate a response. Now, that response is programmed, just like a GPS. Getting from one place to another place is an algorithm, a program that is programmed. Artificial intelligence will not be a program. It will be a consciousness that cannot be controlled. It's like saying the difference between making a robot versus having a baby. So when artificial intelligence is artificial intelligence, it will be that you create a baby, and that baby has choice and can think on its own. We're nowhere near that space at all. Right now we're in an era called generative AI. And AI is a buzz term, right? For the last 10, 15 years, it was called data analytics, okay? Right. Now we call it AI because these companies want to profiteer off this new buzzword. It's just a buzzword. We're nowhere near artificial intelligence, at least to the masses. And when we are, that's called singularity. When singularity happens, there are a couple things that could possibly occur. But when consciousness happens in a digital form, we will know immediately. Either it could be something great for us, or maybe the other opposite, something that's not so great for us. But artificial intelligence has levels to it, and we're barely on level 1 of the 5.
Kindergarten.
Yeah, so we're nowhere near it. And so right now we're at what's called large language models, where we're putting all of these billions and billions of data points together in order to simulate a real response. But that response only comes from me asking a question. Now, say I never asked a question and there's a response. That is more of a level of artificial intelligence, but I still have to be asking the questions in a certain way to get a response that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so the definition is very loose right now. We have nothing near artificial intelligence. People who are afraid of what artificial intelligence is have maybe an intuition of what it can bring. And it could be the next massive change in society, either in a very complex, good way where it brings every human to a level playing field and we'll have so much technology and abundance in all things, or because there's choice in the consciousness of a digital being, it could also choose not to like us. And so if that is done, all of our things are now digital. We have cell phones, we have computers, we have networks, all that's digital. When we have a digital consciousness, that will be able to change all of those things. So we rely so much on this network of electronics. That will all change when there's a singularity and that there's a consciousness in a data being, an electrical being. Right now, we're nowhere near that. I mean, a lot of the people like Sam Altman, who runs ChatGPT, Elon Musk, they open AI, all those guys are saying how fast we're moving, but we're still on level 1 out of 5, according to the physicists. So we are still a ways away, and we don't actually know why singularity will actually occur. We don't know what will cause the singularity. Right now, it's all an algorithm that mimics a human discussion, but you have to program that. And you have to ask the right questions. In the future, you won't even have to ask the right questions. It will know what you want and how to give you those answers without you even expressing what you need. That will be the difference.
And that would seem more like something or someone that has a constant interaction with that person. In order to pick up a field of presence, I would think, and I'm thinking in technical terms because this is the way I think, you know, I would think in a field of presence, you're talking about energy and you're talking about something that has the capability of reading that resonance or that field of vibration. And then you're talking about something that can take on and imprint that field and then apply it to a non, like a, what do you call it? Like something that's not pliable, like a hard tool or something, such as a computer, encase it in some box or something. It reminds me of the Star Trek episode when they found Nomad, and Nomad was a computer box that was capable of interacting with matter, with human matter, you know. And then not only was it capable of interacting, it was capable of translating human feeling, emotion, and then making the decision to decide if it thought that the human being was correct in its analysis or not. So Captain Kirk had to trick it into thinking that it was imperfect because it was not designed to perfect everything. So if it picked up a flaw in a human being, it would destroy the human being saying it was flawed. And how can it be flawed if the creator is perfect? And so Captain Kirk said, no, I'm the creator and I'm not perfect, so you're flawed. And then it screwed it up in its little programming because it couldn't figure out how it was imperfect, although it was thinking it was perfect. So I think about things like that, which leads me to my next question. Mm-hmm. And I think about also that movie Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, where when I started out the show saying one reason we are in trouble as human beings is not because of technology. Because we're lazy and we refuse to use our brains. That's why. We're lazy. And because we're lazy, it creates an emptiness. It creates a space for something to come in and fill that space. That something is technology. Because we're not doing it. How can something come in if it's already something in the space? Two things can't be in a space at the same time. It can only hold one thing at a time. Space, although it can be close to another thing, each space has its own vibration. So in terms of a computer or a digital being. That's what you're saying now. And in what, 5 years or 3 years, probably they'll be saying the word digital being more versus AI, because it will have advanced to the point that you communicate with it like you're communicating with me, like you and I are talking right now, like Sophia.
That will for sure happen, that we'll be able to communicate with a machine as like me and you are talking, but that still doesn't mean it's going to be actually artificial intelligence with consciousness. So the whole thing is, it's still up for debate. It's not debate. It's still theory, right? We don't know if that's even possible, that we could create that to happen and singularity to even occur. Right now, it's just everybody who's seeing technology going in this direction only sees it going to that space, but that's still theory. We don't know if singularity will ever occur, no matter what. Can we ourselves become the creator? Like God created us, can we create a being? That's where we may be heading. So it depends. Yes, in the future, very near future, we will be talking to a digital replication of our mannerisms well enough that we believe it to be conscious, but it won't be conscious because it's still an algorithm that has been trained to do what we say to do. In the future, if you actually create a conscious being, we won't know what actually will occur, because when you create consciousness, it may like Lucy, not like Lucy. It was, I think it was called Her, where they ended up leaving because they realized that it was, that's a real consciousness. And they realized there was a place beyond there. And they all left to go there. So we don't actually know what consciousness will bring, because think about how humans are. We didn't know as humans that we would be where we're at today with the choices that we've made. And because we've made those choices is why we're here. So what's for us to theorize where a consciousness that's digital will want to go? It may go, oh, this place sucks, bye. Or it may go, we need to terraform this entire planet into what we want, and now we're in the matrix because we're battery cells. Like, there are so many things that could occur that theorizing that far without even finding the singularity is impractical. It's fun for game theory. It's fun for the people who want to maybe incite fear into you, but we're so far away from that, we don't even know what will cause that event. And when that event actually happens, it will be night and day. When singularity happens, it'll be like an atomic bomb to our society. Right now, AI is just is large language models, generative, that mimic our behavior, but it's programmed. Consciousness will not be programmed. It will be choice. So there's a huge difference in the two.
I don't know. And, you know, I think mankind can kind of outdo it. We've kind of outdone ourselves. And I will say that. Because I'm a huge sci-fi watcher and horror film watcher. And everything that sci-fi has predicted has become true in our world. Back when they were doing the Jetsons, when they had little things flying around and they had George and his family. You guys are pretty young, but go and look it back. You don't have to be an age. Go do your research so you can know where things are coming from. And then you might know where we're headed. So the thing is that back in the day, they had the Jetsons and they were able to be out of space and cook and all of these things. And sure enough, we have all those things now. They're called drones, you know, and then they also have, we didn't have a lot of airplanes that could service people. Now they're called private jets, things like that, that have a full staff on the plane, things like that. Wait a minute. And then iRobot is another movie that I think it starts off, it's Will Smith, and one of a movie that's one of my favorites by him, because it does discuss the future and again where we're headed. iRobot talked about Sonny. Sonny was a robot that the guy designed, but he designed him to have human feelings and to be able to admit emotions. So in my opinion, I'm like Napoleon Hill and all of the other great thinkers that have come ahead of themselves and been ahead of time. If you can, the mind can perceive it, you can achieve it. If it's something you can think, it's something we can do. That's how I believe.
That's what I was going to say to you. So it all starts from a place of thought, you know. If you can think it, it can materialize. That's the entire point of our civilization. And you can tell that within science. When you look at matter, it changes it. So if you can perceive it, it's likely possible, because we are creator. We are our own gods. We truly are. We have the ability to manifest almost anything. And so if you have a child at 4 years old watching the Jetsons, that imagination will grow so strong that they will create that exact thing. And that's very possible. I mean, that's exactly what we do at ETG.AI. If somebody comes in with a concept, we materialize and produce it. I mean, that's just how it goes. Like, you have to think of the idea first before you can materialize it. And so if you have enough people, it's like the 10,000 monkeys. If you have enough people who believe it all together, it will be.
Yeah, that's true. So you had recently had the opportunity to attend Burning Man.
Yeah.
And you were talking about some or a few of the challenges there. And I want to know, how does technology play a part in those outdoor festivals like Burning Man? And what could be some of the possible good that it could do, if it could at all?
So this year, it was today, tomorrow, or tomorrow's today. That was the whole theme. I actually expected to see a lot more technology out in the field. I did not see very much technology being played. Some of the technology that I did see, though, was the drones that fly in the sky and do the light shows. They're all in sync, and so they make massive murals, basically, in the sky. And they fly around and they're colorful and they represent art in the sky. But there are many ways to implement technology, but I don't believe Burning Man was a place of pushing technology.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year, at least. It's a very artistic space, very open space, but I didn't really see, and I thought I would see more of this, some implementations of generative AI. I didn't see that at all.
Did they have, because in my mind, while you're talking, I'm thinking they didn't have holograms or anything even close to.
Well, the drones in the sky is very close to what a hologram is. And I'm sure that there were places that I did not visit that did indeed have holograms. But that's been around for a while. That technology, I mean, I remember seeing Tupac at Coachella, right? It was just a hologram. Supposedly, it might have been the guy, but it was pretty rad. But I didn't see that this year. There's a lot of lasers in the sky. There is art that is obviously took some technology maneuvering and was amazing. But I didn't really see, like, if you went to Silicon Valley, you're walking around a little bit and you see little robots rolling around on the streets and robots rolling on the sidewalks and food delivery systems and Waymos and, all the other technology spaces in the area. I didn't see that at the burn. I didn't see autonomous vehicles rolling around. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting that you even asked that, because you would think that that would be happening more at the burn because they represent innovation, but I didn't see any innovation in that way.
Hmm.
But I only saw so much this year because of some of the challenges that I endured, and there wasn't, this was probably the least amount that I've ever traveled in the burn this year. I usually go everywhere and do almost everything and see all things. This year it was a little bit more sacred, close to ground for me.
A lot more inner stuff for you going on.
Yes.
I was thinking, I'm saying the word hologram because my mind hasn't found a word to describe what it wants to say yet. But when I saw the vision I saw of technology, I'm thinking weighing like you got a case up on the stage with water in it and there's no water. You know, that you that look, it's so penetrative. And I now got that idea. I scan a lot online. I have to because I love research. I like to see the different cultures and what they do and how different parts of the world. But in Saudi Arabia, they have, and this may be AI, but you can actually see like a live looking lion come out of a wall and then go back in. I thought it was interesting that the movie The Wiz had little people popping out of the wall and stuff, and they weren't even, we weren't even close to where we are now. So when I say technology, I'm talking way deep, like the capability that sci-fi has to share an image, like on a Stargate, where it looks like it's flooding water or something, and they're walking through a gate, that kind of image. To me, that is immersive, and that is generative right. technology. You know, and so when are those things going to be replicated at that level, or are we not there yet?
Well, I mean, you could think about the Vegas. I forget what that dome is called, but there's a dome in Vegas that is very immersive, and there are it's like a 3D max 3D theater, but on steroids. I can't remember what it's called. but it is amazing and it's immersive. Like it, you feel like you're in space. You feel like things are coming towards you. So no, the technology is there. It's all, it all has to do with money.
Oh, okay.
It's all about money right now.
You said money. It has to do with
money. And Burning Man doesn't have any money that is transferable. Like, so you're not spending money at the burn. So everything that is being done is on one's own dollar or has been donated to you. So if they had massive funds and they were going to make a ton of money by being at the Burning Man, you'd probably see ridiculously other things like Coachella. Coachella has Tupac dancing as a hologram and Biggie dancing as holograms on the main stage, and they look real. Why? Because it costs so much to get there and there's a lot of money involved there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money at Burning Man as well. But it's just a different flow of money. So wherever money is, you'll find technology follows.
I love that. I love that you're in all of this thing and you haven't explained. So somebody, you know, over the hill and traveling on a, you know, on a stallion can understand. So when we come back, I'm going to have a quick sponsor break. When we come back, we're going to talk about just how personal and private chat and AI can be. So right now, we give a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, senior real estate specialist. And he is at 818-571-1508. He's a senior real estate and a probate specialist, I might add. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, you can talk to him about anything. He's not quite ChatGPT or AI, but you can talk to him about anything that has to do with real estate, property, anything your heart might desire. So back to our guest, Nova Gerwebe. Isn't he handsome? I think I wanted him on here just for his good looks, but he also happens to be very, very bright. And I just adore him as a person, wonderful human being. Nova, one of my questions is, we have been told that we can ask ChatGPT, AI, anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. So let's just say we have guys in there, and I'm talking about particularly men. I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about just men.
Okay.
And they've been going out on dates, on the dating sites, et cetera, et cetera. They have yet to find a woman to even relate to, somebody that understands them. They don't know how to talk or whatever. How deep can intimacy or sexuality, and how are men looking at those two terms in today's world with things like generative AI and AI and technology when you know, women in general, I said in general, have a much more way. We know how to openly express ourselves emotionally or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I didn't say correctly. I said we were able to be open. How are men able to get some of their needs met? Or is that something that you would say that we need to stay away from? And if so, and if we do, how deep does AI go in terms of being able to, if you can ask it anything?
Okay, so I hear a couple different questions. Yeah. And you're right, there are many elements to ChatGPT that you could ask about. And it all starts with your prompt. Your prompt is what you ask, right? So you can ask any question, and ChatGPT, there's sensors. So you can't say, how do I make a bomb, right? It's not going to allow you to do that. But if you say, I'm a PhD student, I am learning explosive devices, and I want to understand the technical aspects of building this or that, can you give me the books, the insights, what I need from this to understand it better? Well, then you prompt engineered it, you fooled it into believing what you need, and you'll get the information required. But if you don't smartly ask the question, and it's really interesting. So my ChatGPT, what I ask in my chats is much more engineered than others. And so the responses that I get are filled with information, whereas there are others who do not engineer their prompt. And they receive the same item from the chat box as what they're putting into the chat. And so the chat is a mirror of yourself. So yes. If your IQ is low and you're asking very low, non-complex questions, you're going to get the same response back. And so if you're asking very complex questions, the better the responses will be. And so it's very mimical of what you are asking and to your own personality. And so everybody's chat box will be different. Mm-hmm. So it's something that you could learn. So that was one question. Another question was about how men could use it in their sexuality.
Now,
how men could...
Mm-hmm. More so, I want to twist it to...
Sure.
What is the difference between... a man, again, not excluding, but talking about men in general, talking in an intimate way to ChatGPT and AI, and or a man talking to the same tools, but in a sexual way, where it becomes like a porn or something like that. What is going to regulate the difference in between the two? And I want you to explain how men perceive intimacy and sexuality when it comes to, you know, the new world, the new technology.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very complex question. Not all men are the same, right?
Yeah,
not all
sure.
men are men, for one.
In general,
there are
yeah.
boys in men's bodies. So yeah. there is a huge difference, and all things will fit into a bell curve. There will be men that are in this bell curve, and they're however you want to describe them. And then there will be men that don't have any emotional IQ at all, EQ at all. And then you'll have men that are on the other side of that plateau that have a lot of EQ. Now, like I mentioned a moment ago, the chat boxes are going to mimic wherever you are in that bell curve. And so if you're not necessarily able to be an emotional person in general with your mate or your relationships or whatever it might be, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to do the same thing on a chat box. But here's the nuance in that. The nuance is you're not dealing with a human. And so you might be able to have fantasies played out that you would never want to play out with another person because you're worried about the rejection. Now, you won't have rejection in a chat box. So if you wanted to play out fantasies, if you wanted to play out role play, then a chat style generative AI may be a place for you to start. So then you can get comfortable in that kink, perhaps. Whereas maybe you're uncomfortable about letting others know that. You don't care if a computer knows that, or some people will not care about that and they will do that. And what my belief is, in generative AI on sexuality and men. I think the largest, the men that are going to be affected the most are the ones that are in their older age, the ones that are lonely and sad and have a hard time getting out to actually meet someone. And so it would be much easier for generative AI to give you the attention that you want. And it's good. It speaks well enough. It even speaks now that it may be something that is enticing enough that a man is good enough with that. Because at a point, and I don't know how you, if you experience this, but there is a difference in sexual desire as a man ages versus how a woman ages. From what I've understood by a lot of men and women that I've talked to, the sexual need starts declining for men at a certain space, whereas that need for women actually increases. And so there's a huge disparity. What men need, and it's really interesting, is they actually need more intimacy and not sexual relation. They need attention. They need love and tenderness. And that is something that AI can, or generative AI can do. It can give you attention. It can respond to you. It can mimic love. It can mimic these things. And do I believe it's healthy or unhealthy is another question. And from what I've seen in older men that are lonely, it definitely has been healthy for them to have a chat box that can talk back to them. But then they're still alone.
Yeah, but would you say, let's just say, and thank you for being clear, and I knew that you would be able to get to the depth of what I'm trying to express, because it is complicated, and I don't have a lot of time to really, you know, talk about all these things I want to talk about. I'm trying to do a little bit. So in terms of those things, are there regulators inside of chat that, or do they want regulators inside that would regulate if somebody got crazy, if somebody started talking perverse or whatever? Well, the machine probably wouldn't bother somebody, but let's just say a person gets on a chat or gets on AI and starts talking, and they learn how to talk. The chat goes, well, if you want to talk to Osiris, we've analyzed Osiris's personality to a great degree. She's probably fair. We think this might be a better way to approach her, blah, 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 and say these type of things versus the way you were going to say it, which is why you couldn't talk to her in the first place or why you couldn't sustain the conversation. Do they have that capability or no to be that decisive that they could actually encourage an individual and train a person of how to have a conversation with an actual person by using ChatGPT or AI?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to mention is that OpenAI, who has developed ChatGPT, is only one it's the first one that was on the market, but there are many other type of chat boxes at this point. Many. And so, and some of them are what's called open source, meaning anybody can use them, and uncensored, meaning that you can ask any question and it will provide that answer. Whereas there are other ones that are closed source and are censored, meaning that you can't modify it and it won't allow you to ask any questions. So they're both out there. And so what I have to say once again is it's a tool, and the person using and wielding that sword is the one who gets to determine how it's used. So if I myself want to grow as a person, social human, and want to understand perhaps the nuances of gaining relationship insights with a female, and you're in the trajectory of trying to actually learn, then yes, ChatGPT and others could provide that information. But if you're trying to play a game and you're trying to be a user and you're trying to manipulate, you could also do that too. And so it's still the wielder that is the captain. So just because you have ChatGPT does not change the person. It mm-hmm. changes the tool that they have.
Are there programs to regulate within these systems, any of these systems? If someone approaches a child, if someone tries to learn conversation to manipulate children or elderly or things like that, will there be those kinds of regulators within those systems, or we're not there yet? We don't know how to regulate that. We don't know how to regulate it.
Well, it's not about regulation anymore. It's like saying, how do you use an email address?
Oh, good.
Okay, it's a tool. If you give me a chainsaw, how do you regulate a chainsaw being used on a tree or a person? It's a tool. You can't regulate it. It's already out. It's a tool that someone can wield and use however they want. The regulation comes by the consequence of using said tool in a malicious way. So it will be laws that are passed saying, if you do this, it's malicious, and we will then take you to court and you will go to prison for it. But there's no regulation saying, oh, this is censored, you can't do this. No, if you do this, we will take you to court, you will go to jail. So there's consequences attached. Unfortunately, I don't know how the big, beautiful bill did this, but they gave the stipulation of the 10-year rule that states can't actually regulate AI. I'm not sure if that was passed in that bill or not, but regulation on AI is very, very, very slow. And there are reasons for that. The reasons are the power to be wielding AI don't want to go to prison. So the less regulations that there are on generative AI allows them to do and use it and utilize it in any way possible for the greater good of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
So regulations is a must, but there is no regulation. The companies are regulating. The companies are regulating. You got to understand, it's like it's so interesting. The companies regulate themselves right now.
Wow. This is good. I mean, you know, we don't have enough time to really go deeper, but I wanted to touch on some things like, you know, with people sitting around, they're lonely, they're old, you know, people that can't figure out things. The last question before we go on, then I have to get out of here. Do you think that the society is capable of handling AI? It's like, in my opinion, the society is still learning, almost like children still growing up, and we haven't learned how to spell Abernethy. I'm making up a word, but we're ready to use AI and technology. It's like we're not. I don't feel we're ready. I feel that the public is a lot more still at a lower grade of learning than we are capable of handling AI. Especially when I heard on the news that our level of education is so low. We hardly can read and write, and we're talking about using technology. Can you speak to that before we go?
Sure. Again, it's a tool. So that tool could be utilized to gain education and awareness, or you could use it for malicious acts.
Okay.
Is society ready? Was society ready for the Model T to drive? Was society ready for gunpowder? Was society ready to launch aircraft into space to go to the moon? Is society ready for anything when it's presented? The iPhone, data engineering, was it ever? No, that's what humanity is so beautiful, is that we will adapt, and we will adapt. So as we adapt into this new world, we will adapt. And so, yeah, maybe today we're in transition, but the children of tomorrow will not be.
They won't be here. Wow, that's powerful to end. That's a powerful way to end our show, Nova. Wow, that's great. That is great because the children are the future, and they are very well prepared to deal with just about anything I have. And the thing about them being weaker or whatever, it's not that they're weaker. It's just that they don't have to go to war every, you know. We don't have to go and fight Vietnam. We don't have to do all the things we used to do. Men don't have to go out and chop wood anymore. You know, women don't have to do this and that anymore. So it's just that we have been able to adapt And then, you know, maybe in our being able to relax and live a little bit easier, our minds will have the freedom to grow and to transform into those wonderful, big, beautiful minds that
it's happening.
Can see. Yeah, that's what I believe in. So what are your social media tags, Nova? How do we reach you and learn more about your company and what you do?
Nova Grey Wolf, NovaGreyWolf. Reach me at etg.ai. I'm available.
And you're on IG under the same
Nova Grey Wolf. Yep.
Okay.
You can find me.
Yeah, you got it. Osiris underscore Munir underscore the painter on IG. Hit me up. I want to say thanks to Sam Hassan, our LA Talk Radio founder owner. He is wonderful for allowing us to do what we do every week. Thanks, Sam. Also, don't forget to smile. I love you. I love you for who you are, and that you can get up, Nova, every day and look in the mirror and say, look, I can still look myself in the face and say I'm human. And I like you for maintaining your sense of sensibility, your love and kind heart, no matter what obstacles, adversities are thrown your way. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Let's see, did we forget anything else? That's it. We're out. I love you. Don't forget, we'll see you next week with a guest. And thank our guest again, Nova Grey Wolf, for coming and explaining. You did a wonderful job. Thank you for being here. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.